This is elections interview number 5 with Mr. Aju Giamfri at the National Media Commission in Accra, Ghana. It is August 13th, 2008, and the interviewer is Ashley McCants. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. You are most welcome.
Thank you so much for agreeing to participate in the interview. I always like to begin these conversations by learning a little more about a person's personal background. Can you describe the position that you hold at the National Media Commission and the goals of this position?
Well, I think, as you might have known, the National Media Commission is a creation of the Constitution of the Republic of Ghana, the 1992 Constitution. And the commission was set up under law in 1993. And the membership is about 18, but it's institutional representation. You have various organizations. I represent the Bar Association on the commission. And we have representation from our law. Under the Constitution, we have representation from the Bar Association. The one from the Bar Association, one publishers and owners of private press, Ghana Writers Association and Ghana Library Association, Christian Group, that is the National Catholic Secretariat, the Christian Council, and the Ghana Pentecostal. Then one representation from Federation of Muslim Councils and our media movement. Then also the training institutions, that is journalists and communicators, Ghana Advertising and Institute of Public Relations, National Association of Teachers, the National Council of Women and Development, trade unions, the Association of Private Broadcasters, two representatives nominated by Ghana Journalist Association, two appointed by the president, and three persons nominated by parliament. And after the members have been constituted, it is the members themselves under law who nominate, who elect their own chairman. And the whole idea is to insulate the chairman from governmental or political control, so that the chairman of the commission is elected by the members themselves. And it is important to know that under Article 166 of the Constitution, a person who is a founding member of a political party is a leader or a member of his executive or hold any office in a political party is not qualified to be a member of this commission. This is to, as I've indicated to you, to ensure that the commission is insulated from political or governmental control.
And what are your specific responsibilities and goals here at the commission?
Pardon?
What are your specific role and responsibilities?
Yes, the primary purpose of the National Media Commission is, one, as indicated in the Constitution of the Republic of Ghana, to ensure the freedom and independence of the media, and that to make sure that the state-owned media is insulated from governmental control. And as a result of that, it is the commission which appoints the chief executives of the state-owned media. And the Constitution ensures that we promote and ensure the freedom and independence of the media, insulate the state-owned media from governmental control, and also take appropriate measures to ensure the establishment and maintenance of the highest journalistic standards. So these are the goals set up under the Constitution for the National Media Commission.
Can you tell me more about the jobs that you have held before you took this position with the National Media Commission?
The position of the chairman?
Yes.
The chairman under the law is one of the members. He's elected from one of the members. The election is conducted like any other election, and any of the members can nominate you. And if there are more contestants, in my case, I have been elected, and I was re-elected. And somebody nominated me, and then I got the election. The chairman's primary function is to ensure that meetings are called, and when there's a meeting, he chairs the meeting. But it is his position is not different from other members, but it is only when we are going to vote, there's something which must be voted for, and there's a tie. That was where the chairman may have a casting vote. Other than that, the chairman only chairs the meeting, and he has the prerogative with the executive secretary to summon any meeting. But under the law, we have to meet at least once every 2 months. Every quarter, we have to meet. But we used to meet, depending upon the exigencies, we were meeting almost every month. But we decided that where we don't have much to do, then we meet once every 2 months. At our meetings, luckily for us, apart from me coming from Kumasi, all the members are basically in Accra here.
What are the eligibility requirements for being appointed to the commission, and who makes the appointments?
As I indicated to you, from the list that I gave you, it's institutional representation. But in the light of our mandate, I think the institution is required to nominate somebody here. But I think that they take into consideration whether the person can effectively help to perform the functions. I used to be the president of the Bar Association for 3 years. After I finished serving my term, that my association nominated me to be here. So that we don't have any basic qualification. If any at all, it is anybody who comes here, I presume, should like to have free and independent press. I think that should be the basic consideration. But under the Constitution, there's no basis. There's no qualification attached to any membership. The only qualification is that this qualification is that if you hold any office in a political party, you're a founding member, you cannot be a member of this commission. That is all.
How would you describe the relationship of the commission to the government?
So far as the commission is concerned, if we have anything at all to do with government, it is in respect of financing. And we are to be financed from the government purse, that is the consolidated fund which we have in Ghana here. But the law says that in our appointment of the chief executives of the state-owned media, we have to do that in consultation with the government, with the president. The consultation, the commission, it says, if I may like to refer to when we appointed members of the commission, like we appointed the executive secretary, the law says that the commission shall appoint the officers and other employees of the commission in consultation with the Public Services Commission in that case, as so far as the officers are concerned. But he says that editors of state-owned media shall be appointed by the governing bodies in respective corporation in consultation with the Public Services Commission. But the commission shall appoint the chairman and other members of the governing body managing state media in consultation with the president. So it is the appointment of chairman and other board members that we have to constitute these things in consultation with the president. And I think that the issue is all that what all this consultation means. I think it is only fair that if you are going to do something in consultation with somebody, at least it should be possible to sit down and talk about it. But so far as I can say, whatever we have done here since I became a member of this commission almost 5 years ago, and also the appointment that we have made, the president may suggest that we have a list, we may consider this list, the commission. But the government, for that matter, the president has never on any occasion said that this person should be by all means a member. Apart from the fact that the president, has his two nominees here. That one is within his prerogative. And parliament has three nominees. It is within its prerogative to send anybody. But so far as appointing the public board is concerned, the president may send some name for consideration by the commission. But I can assure you that under no circumstance has the president insisted that this person should be appointed. It is left entirely with the commission.
Can the president or the executive branch dismiss people appointed to the commission?
No. I think that we are elected here for a term of three years. And under the law, a person may be re-nominated to be here for another three-year term. Thereafter, you cannot be a member. Consecutively, you cannot be a member. But I think that any group, any constituent group, which has nominated somebody here, can withdraw that person if you so desire. But no, and under no circumstance can the president dismiss or any group dismiss anybody who has not been nominated by that group. But if you recall in its member, then we cannot, if for any reason they say that this is our representative, we want him to come back, we cannot present him. But I think we only have to draw the attention that he has a mandate for 3 year period. But if they think that he cannot serve the 3 year period, we can withdraw the member.
Can the executive branch alter or withhold funding allocations?
Financial?
Yes.
How the institution is governed financially?
You mentioned earlier that it's financed from the government's consolidated fund.
Yes.
Can the government withhold funding from the commission?
Well, our budget is tied to the national budget. And therefore, if, let's say, an approval has been given to you for so much for a project, and you send it there, you are doing the project and you send it there, if money is available, they can release it to you. But if they say that money is not available, you cannot have it. To that extent, they can withhold funds.
Has the money been available to you in a timely basis?
Anybody?
Has money and funding been available to you in a timely basis?
No. Normally, we made a proposal, like our salary of the staff, at the end of the year, you prepare it and you send it to the appropriate quarters for approval. But apart from that, nothing is released to us. We don't control the funds. We don't control our funds here. And whatever is paid to us is sent there for approval before they pay it into our accounts. But we don't control any funds whatsoever here.
Have members of the commission encountered any challenges that they've had to overcome to establish their independence from?
The challenges about our independence?
Yes.
Before, some time ago. Well, I think that before I became a member of the commission, when the commission started, in spite of the clear wording of the commission here, the government at that time wanted to appoint the chief executive of state-owned media. And this was resisted by the commission. And the idea was that it had to go to court. So the court decided that the language of the constitution and also the law was very clear. And therefore, the government had no hand in the appointment of chief executive. And the government at that time had to abide by the decision of the court. And this was the first time that such a challenge was made. But it was resolved by the court from that declaration.
If you were providing advice to somebody in another country about how to build an independent media commission, what challenges would you tell them to be alert to?
Well, I think that so far as the institutional framework is concerned about media independence and control, I think that first and foremost, apart from the main structures, I think if the personnel within the media are not properly trained, are not adequately resourced and paid, the tendency will be to seek, you know, some money in order to eke out your own livelihood. So I think that the basic problem with independence of the media, that is media practitioners, from my point of view, is how adequately they are resourced, the way they are paid, their training, and the way they are catered for, because somebody can just take money and insert, may take money and insert any publication in his journal just because he has been paid for it. But if, in spite of his resolve to be professional, if he cannot get money to buy newsprint and somebody will just provide it, it will be a means of controlling, from the back, from the back door. So I think that adequate funding, apart from the professionalism that the person must display, adequate funding for media personnel and also the institutions is paramount, should be considered as paramount.
Can you tell me about a particular success that the National Media Commission has achieved, particularly during an election?
Well, I think that if you want to point out what we have achieved since it was established about 15 years ago, I'll only say that just this morning, we were dealing with petitions for settlement from the Ghana Police Service, from the military, and from the intelligence, military intelligence, from the Ghana Armed Forces, then from the Bureau of National Investigation, from the police, from football. In other words, people have confidence in the National Media Commission. They feel that if there is any infraction of journalistic standard, when they take it to the National Media Commission, it will be resolved and adequately settled. Here, with our settlement committee, we don't award any damages or something. The only thing is that if we, having received the complaint and the petitions, the replies, they need to go into the matter, we go into the matter. Thereafter, we give our decision. And we ask you to retract as the Constitution says and apologize to the person. And I think that over the years, this thing has been carried out. And the extent to which people come here for settlement of their complaint is clear indication that people have confidence in the institution.
How would you characterize the media here currently? Is it mostly independent, privately owned? How much is privately owned versus government owned? Has ownership structure changed over time?
I think that before the airwaves were liberalized, as it were, under the 1992 Constitution, we only had one TV station, which was government-owned. But now we have some TV stations which are privately owned. And so far as the airwaves are concerned, the electronic media, the government has only one, GBC, and Ghana News Agency. And the print media will have only two. That if you look at the tablet for the day, there are so many papers. So that so far as it is a mixture. But the basic control about the media now is a greater part of the chunk is in private hands. And therefore, the government has basically no control over the media at the moment. And I think that this has happened because of the constitutional provision, which, as it were, liberated, gave the media commission, gave the media the freedom to operate. And also, we can also say that the media in Ghana now, for the past 2-3 years, since this government came in, 4-5 years now, became free when the government decided to repeal the criminal libel, the provisions, the criminalizing media infraction. And this has given way to independence. Complete. People are free to write about anything. Probably if you have the opportunity to read through some of our papers, you see that people write anything about anything under the sun just because he will not be taken to court. He will not be criminalized for writing. This is where the Media Commission comes in, that where there is any infraction, people should have it settled within the confines of the law at this commission. But I can assure you that the repeal of the criminal libel law has actually given vent, given the media operators the opportunity to be independent, to be really free in Ghana at the moment.
Could you tell me about how the election commission or others that conduct the election use the media? For example, at what stage during the election cycle and for what purposes does the election commission involve the media?
I think when you had opportunity to meet our executive secretary, he might have given you details of the fact that we believe that, especially in the election year, in all the elections which have taken place in Ghana and the national, from 96, 2000, 2004, the National Media Commission had to monitor. We were given the opportunity to monitor the elections. And in order to ensure free and fair elections, we have been organizing seminars and for the media personnel. And also we have been doing some form of education, telling people the type of language they should use during this election year, the type of write-up, which, bear in mind, the experiences we have in other parts of Africa, how the radio, TV, everything should be used in order to ensure free and fair elections. So to that extent, the Media Commission are taking it in line with our mandate to organize seminars, workshop for media personnel. Just about not quite 2 weeks ago, we were in Kumasi to meet the media people there, to talk to them about, find out their challenges and draw their attention to the question of the elections and the role they are supposed to play. So we do these things in conjunction with the support with other civil society groups, and also with the Ghana Journalists Association, which is a component part. They have two representatives here, and we cannot lecture or school the media when you don't bring on board an association like Ghana Journalists Association. So,
what are some of the challenges that the media have been encountering in this election period?
Yes, I think that the basic challenge facing the media practice in Ghana now is how to get people the training. I mean, how to get experienced people who are trained, not somebody who just get up and says that he's a journalist. If we can get responsible people, well-trained people, those who have gone to the profession because they have the flair to be with the profession, I think that some of the pitfalls that we have at the moment will not come. Like, for instance, we have the situation where people are appointed, people are given positions, let's say with the radio and television. The person has no training whatsoever, and they cannot control people. They see all sorts of things on the airwaves. Before you are aware, somebody has been destroyed, and you cannot recall whatever you say. So we need a little bit of responsible journalism. And I think that the issue is basically training. And on the part of the National Media Commission, we have one major hurdle here, which we are trying to address, because we have made our position known to Parliament. In Ghana here, the National Communications Authority distribute frequencies to radio houses. And the frequencies, which we consider to be the primary function of the National Media Commission, we don't have control. And therefore, there are no basic guidelines for people who get the licenses. And I think this is one of the areas where, because there are no controls, people are able to do whatever they are doing. And we are fighting very hard that this is part of our mandate, and therefore Parliament should give it to us, or else we may have to test that in court. In fact, we decided that with the current NCA bill, which is pending before Parliament, if that function is not assigned to National Media Commission, we shall test the legality of the law in court. But I believe that if that function is properly assigned and is controlled, there will be responsible, a greater measure of responsible media practice in this country.
What sources of information do you think that most people rely on in getting their education and information about the election? Is it mostly radio, newspapers, television, or other types of sources?
All of them, but I think that now, in view of the number of radio stations, and because the radio, not every, a greater part of the people, the percentage of people who can read, people rely mostly on the radio, naturally, because even at the hamlets, you have the radio. And the television, from radio I'll come to television, because now a sizable amount of people in Ghana have access to television. And some of these programs are explained, but so far as the newspaper is concerned, it will not come in time. Not everybody, apart from the commercial towns, the capital towns. But I think that radio and television, of course, people rely on mostly on radio and television.
Do political campaigns use the media to disseminate propaganda? And if they do use the media, if they use kind of hate speech or inflammatory language, how do you regulate those efforts?
Well, we have a monitoring team. We have two offices. Our other office there, which we use for monitoring, and the only thing that the results don't come early enough, but we use our monitoring to tell people how far they have been faring. Like what we have in Kumasi, we brought to their attention the issues they've discussed for the whole month, the content, how much the percentage they use for developmental program, for politics, etc., so that our monitoring team, and this is where we have to strengthen it because of lack of funds, but we have a monitoring team, which the executive secretary, under his instrumentality, is actually doing. We shall very soon, before the election, publish our findings to draw people's attention to, you know, how the press itself, the media, has been faring. So that our monitoring team is one of our organs that we are using to regulate, as it were, media practice in this country.
And are you authorized to issue infractions or any kind of punishment for those who use inappropriate language or speech?
Yeah, the only thing is that currently under our law, because of where we came from, the circumstances under which we fought for press freedom in this country, from the military, from civilian government, for we to have this constitutional, the institutionalization of press freedom under the Constitution, the National Media Commission, under the law, is not mandated, you know, to mete out any punishment or anything. Our duty, principally, is to see, draw people's attention, educate them, draw their attention to how they can function to be responsible. But that is as far as we can go. And I think that for our purposes, it has worked in the sense that any attempt to mete out any punishment will be interpreted as trying to control the press. So it has worked for some time now. And we believe that it is not yet time for us to ensure that, oh, if you do this, we are going to close this thing up or not. I think that it's good that we'll try it for some time. But as at now, the National Media Commission has no power to sanction anybody for that matter. When we tell you and you don't agree, you don't apologize, you don't retract, then the person may go to court where, until recently, they were getting heavy fines and costs being awarded by people. But that's the more reason why we feel that some of these things can be adjudicated and settled by this commission. But we don't have the power to award anything against anybody.
Does this mean that the structure as it works here in Ghana is very context specific and wouldn't be able to be transferred or shared with other countries?
Yes, I think that anybody who decides to have, I think that when I came here, I met our former chairman, Professor Kumado, when we were having an induction course for new commissioners. He told us that anybody who does not believe in press freedom has no business at the Media Commission. And I think that I've taken that as part of my credo. I believe in what he said. So I believe that what we have tried here has worked for the past 15 years. We don't sanction anybody. We don't give anybody the opportunity to close down your newspaper. All that we have to do is at the end of the year, you come and register with us that your address is, so that if there's anything, we can get in touch with you. And I think that it has worked, and other places can also work on the same. But I will not say that it is the best that we have. We are learning from other sources, the best practices from somewhere, from other places, well-established democracies. And I think that we are trying to sensitize these things so that we can have a format which will be a blend between the well-established democracies, what they do there, and what we do here. But I think that any country which has passed through our experience can try ours. And we've had visits from Burkina, from Tanzania, from other places, coming here to look at it, seeing that in our case, there's no governmental control whatsoever with the National Media Commission. We've had visits from other South African countries coming here, sitting down with us to talk about giving them what we have done so far. And I think that so far as I'm aware, they appreciate, some of them have expressed the hope that they could get the same thing in their own countries. So it can be done. I think we have a story to tell. If we were to meet some of our colleagues somewhere, I think they can try our experience.
And what have you found useful about some of the other countries that you mentioned that that you want to apply in Ghana?
Well, in other places, like we are saying, the issue of frequencies. I mean, how can the government control? In that case, where the independent that we are talking about, if the Media Commission, we are in, has been assigned the duty, and if we go to South Africa, we've been checking on other places, and you see that there are some of these practices that we think that, especially also with the airwaves, we believe that it is time that the National Media Commission, in line with our mandate, is given the opportunity to be a watchdog on that. As a means of protecting people, as a means of ensuring the independence. Because now, it is done, everything is done by government. And when there is any infraction, they tell the Media Commission, what are we doing? But we did not give the person license, so we cannot close that place. If we were to have proper guidelines and they are outside the guideline, then you can institute some measures. But where we don't have the complaint, they can misbehave as much as possible. And you think that since it concerns the media, you turn around to ask us, what are you doing? So we believe that if we can get the control as we are trying to seek for, at least so far as the electronic media is concerned, we shall be able to regulate it properly to ensure not only their freedom, but the responsibility are tied to the freedom in the world.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.